one voice crying in the wilderness.
This is One Voice with Dr. Larry Montgomery. Bible questions and Bible answers to enable the believer to understand the sovereign purpose of God for both His church and His chosen people. This program is recorded live in the auditorium of Parkway Baptist Church in Bristol, Tennessee at 6:30 on Sunday night. We welcome your participation and input. Write us at One Voice, 1253 Volunteer Parkway, Bristol, Tennessee, 37620. Now, One Voice.
Unto you it's given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Now listen carefully, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. We play too much with this thing of salvation. This book tells us plainly that God closes the eyes, that God hardens hearts, that God deafens the ears, and God hardens the heart to where they can't perceive. Did God harden Pharaoh's heart?
Yes.
Sure, there's a God in heaven. And God hardened the hearts of the children of Israel. And when our Lord was on this earth and speaking to them, they didn't hear Him. They didn't see Him. Oh, they saw the visible image and they heard the voice. But that's all there was to it. That crowd that was fed on the hillside on two occasions is the same crowd that cried, Hosanna, when Jesus Christ enters the gate of Jerusalem.
Yes, sir.
And 3 days later, that same crowd is crying, Crucify.
Yes, sir.
Now, you tell me how that can happen. Eyes blinded, ears deafened, heart hardened. They saw, but they didn't perceive what was going on. They heard, but they did not understand what was happening. And their heart was hardened. God had hardened their heart, blinded them.
Yes.
Israel has been blinded for thousands of years. Now the day is going to come when God will open their eyes.
Yes.
Brother Gary's talking about that Wednesday night, or this morning actually too. God is going to open their eyes and save them instantly. They're going to see Him coming in the clouds of glory,
yes,
and that's Him.
Yes.
That's Him. Last week I talked to you about light. God, when He begins to deal with this, He turns on the light. And I am perplexed that I know so many preachers who think they have the switch and they have to turn the light on for them. Listen, folks, we don't have the switch. Only God can turn the light on. But when God turns the light on, things begin to happen in our lives.
Yes.
You see, men are in darkness.
Yes.
Darkness. We're in a world of darkness, a sinful world of darkness. And God turns the light on. And when God turns the light on, we begin to see the sin about us and the filth of that sin. We were in it yesterday, but today we see the filth of it. You see, we don't know where we are in darkness, but when God turns a light on,
yes,
we begin to understand the circumstance of our lives and where we really are before God. Sin is dangerous.
Yes, it is.
It is dangerous. The wages of sin is death. Sin is dangerous. All kinds of sin is dangerous. As we call little sins and big sins, they're all dangerous. And I never could find the little ones. I've looked for them. I never have been able to find the little ones. They're all big where God's concerned.
Yes, sir.
And you see, when God turns that light on, we begin to see sin like God sees it. Beforehand, we didn't have any inhibition against it whatsoever. But now, God's turned the light on and we see things differently. We begin to see things like God sees it. I want to make a statement. Listen carefully to this. There is no such animal as instant salvation. Never has been, never will be. There's no such thing as instant salvation. Salvation is a process whereby God Almighty turns a light on in our life, opens our ears so we begin to hear, and gives us a heart of flesh so it's pliable now rather than the heart of stone. This thing of regeneration is not salvation. They're not spelled the same. They don't mean the same. Now, they're close akin, but they do not mean the same. Regeneration is the process whereby God brings you to salvation. Regeneration is what I like to call the embryonic state. The seed has been planted, and I like to picture it like this. God wraps us in the womb of the Holy Ghost. Now, we don't know what's going on. But something's happening. And someone does know. When you were conceived, you didn't know a thing in the world about it. But somebody knew. You remember what Jesus told the Pharisee? What did he tell him? You must be what? Born again. And the word Jesus uses there is the word genoa. It means you must be born of a mother and a father. Now that's why Nicodemus said, how can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born again? I've heard people condemn Nicodemus for saying that, but that's what Jesus said. You've got to be born of a mother and a father. Well, he equates that with being naturally birthed again. And that's what Jesus is paralleling it with. The natural birth and the spiritual birth. In that natural birth, there is a time of conception. There is a time of embryonic growth and there is a time of breaking forth. In that spiritual birth, there is a time when the seed is sown. There is a time of embryonic growth where God begins to show you things you never saw before, let you hear things you never heard before, let you see things you never saw before. Now, if you'll think back in God's work in your life, you'll remember that before God saved you, you began to see things differently. Remember that? You didn't know it then, but let me tell you what was happening. God was fingering around your heart. God was taking the scales off your eyes. Dr. Grace was doing his work in your life. And the Holy Ghost was helping you to hear and understand things you never understood before. And then, all of a sudden, the birth takes place. And most of us put everything right there and forget what was taking place beforehand. Because that is such an experience that it overshadows all of those things back there. Little conversation goes on about the 9 months that mama carried the baby once the baby's born. That's just gone away, isn't it? Because the birth has taken place. And the birth overshadows all of that. But that's necessary. God must begin to do the process of salvation in order to bring us to that point that He saves us by His grace. Now, the instant of salvation, that's an instantaneous thing. I mean the experience itself of salvation. But the process of salvation is not instant. not by any stretch of the imagination. So the work of God, the work of God through eternity is to redeem mankind. The purpose of God, the eternal purpose of God. Paul speaks of the eternal purpose of God in the book of Ephesians, and that eternal purpose is that the church might be put on display. Well, in order for the church to be put on display, it first must be redeemed, saved by the grace of God. Let me ask you this. Now, think carefully as we go through this. What did you contribute to your conception? What did you contribute to your embryonic growth? What did you contribute to your birth?
Nothing.
Not a thing in this world. Not one thing in this world. Now, if Jesus paralleled that natural birth to the spiritual birth, then surely to goodness we ought to have sense enough to understand that we are not involved in this process. This is a God work.
Yes.
If it's a man work, it's going to fail.
Amen.
By the way, that's what most so-called salvation in our day and time is. It is a man work rather than a God work. Here's what I did to get saved. Well, if you did anything to get saved, you didn't. How about that? You just didn't. Because this is a God work. It requires no input from mankind. And any input mankind has then fouls up the works. Now, I've heard preachers say, oh, we have a lot of aborted babies in this thing. No, we don't. No, absolutely not. Everyone that is conceived is birthed.
Yes.
God never had a breach birth.
No, sir.
He never had a birth too early.
No.
And it never comes too late.
No.
It's always on time.
Yes.
Every single time. Salvation, being a God work, just completely moves me out of the picture, except for the fact that I am the object of salvation. God is the center of salvation. Let me say it this way. God is the subject. We are the object. God is the subject. The Holy Spirit is the verb, and we are the object thereof. When God does a work, it is an eternal work. God is never going to bring a child to birth and then cast that child out somewhere down the road and say, this is not my child. We are birthed into the household of faith. We are birthed into the family of God. Being birthed into the family of God means that it is a perfect birth. Now, I didn't say you were perfect, but it was a perfect birth.
Yes.
Because it's a perfect God, a sovereign God that has brought this to pass. So then in the providence of salvation, God turns on the light and we begin to see. Perceive things differently. And he opens our ears and we begin to hear things that we never heard before. There'll be times that I'll be teaching you and Brother Gary be preaching to us, and there'll be times that he'll say something four or five times, or we'll say something several times, and then one time it'll hit you. And you know what you're going to say? I never heard that. And you didn't. In reality, you didn't hear it before. But it's been said in your hearing. But now all of a sudden, God opened your ear and you heard what God wanted you to hear at that particular time. This is something that I had to learn as a pastor. You can teach people and you can preach to people for years, and they will never hear. And if we're not careful as pastors, we jump down their throats and jump all over their case because we've said it and they didn't hear it. But it's not necessarily their fault that they didn't hear it, because it wasn't their time to hear it and God hadn't opened their ears that they could hear. But when God opens that ear and they hear, boy, it's a different world at their house. Now there, and by the way, listen carefully to this statement. Every time God opens your ears and God says something to you through the man of God, the Spirit of God within you will magnify that as truth, and you'll know it instantly. That's so. That's so. Never heard it before, but it's so. I know it's so because the Holy Ghost in me just said the witness. There's the two witnesses, the Word and the Spirit. That ever happened to you?
Yes, sir.
I have a preacher friend in Texas that we went to preach for several times a year, sometimes four and five times a year. And he was die hard against the doctrines of grace. But he said, when you come and preach, my people are blessed, and I know God's here, but I don't believe a word you preach. And we'd sit for hours, week after week, we've sat for hours in his office and talked. And I'd always say, there's no need in me trying to tell you this because you're not ready to hear it. Now, let me tell you something. He was a little fire. And more than one time, he wanted to whip me. More than one time, I'd leave and say, listen, you'll never understand it till God shows it to you. Amen. One day, I got a phone call. He didn't need to call. I believe I could have heard him. That dude was shouting, glory, hallelujah, I see it, I see it, I see it. You see, I learned a long time ago. In teaching in seminary and so on, I learned years ago that you cannot turn the light on for these folks.
Right.
You can't open their eyes and you can't take the earwax out of their ears. All you can do is present it and leave it up to the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? Leave it up to the Holy Ghost to open the eyes, cause them to hear, cause them to feel. Let them know what's being said.
Yes,
I never tire of teaching and preaching. Really, I never do. I've preached to thousands, and I've preached to the teens. I've preached to single numbers. It doesn't bother me because I know this. I know God has to open the ears, and no matter how many times I say it, and no matter with what conviction I say it, unless God opens the ears, my effort is in vain. Well, that kind of puts us in our spot, doesn't it? When we really realize that we are just the deliverer of the mail. I carry the mail. I can't make you read your mail. I can't make you understand your mail. Like Brother David told me some time back, he said, you can teach them, but you can't understand for them. And I can't understand for you. I can teach you, but I can't understand for you. Only God can give you the understanding.
Amen.
Often because there is no degree of understanding, then we get angry at the truth. And we reject it. But here's the thing we need to always look for. Does it measure up to the Scripture? Is it Holy Ghost reinforced? If that's so, don't argue with it. Though you do not understand it, don't argue with it. Don't resist it. Just wait on God to open your eyes.
Yes.
Now, all of us are prone to say, oh, that's not so. That's not so. But here's what we need to learn to do. Try the spirits and see if they be of God. Recognize the Word. If you know the Word of God, then surely you can believe the Word of God if you're a believer. You may not believe it the way it's presented at this moment, but ask God, Lord, if that's so, let me see it. Let me see it. You know what? Old Brother DeFore that I was mentioning just a few moments ago, when that boy finally got to the place to where he wasn't so proud, and he finally said, Lord, if it's so, then open my eyes and let me see it. And the same day he said that, in his prayer in the morning, and the same day he said that, I got a phone call. Let me go a bit further with this thought. Listen carefully. God never saved a proud sinner. Years ago, when slavery was still in vogue, there was a revival in the area, and the black folks were going to the revival. And this old black boy went to the revival, God saved him. And he came back home, boy, he's rejoicing, telling his master about all of it. And his master got under conviction. And he came to him and he said, tell me what I've got to do to be saved. And the old colored boy was feeding the hogs. He said, well, son, so you got to go over that fence, get down in that mud of them hogs on your knees and ask the Lord Jesus to save you. He said, I ain't going to do that. I am not going to do that. So he went his way. A few days he came back. He said, tell me one more time what I've got to do. Can you see what's going on?
Yes, sir.
He said, tell me one more time what I've got to do. Now, what I'm telling you is a true story. Tell me one more time what I've got to do. He said, no, mister. He said, you've got to get over that fence, get in that mud on your knees with a hog, and ask the Lord to save you, and he saved you. He said, I'm not going to do that. I am not going to do that. So he went away. A few days later, he came back. He said, you got to tell me again what I got to do. He said, well, master, said, you got to get over that fence, into that mud, on your hands and your knees of them hogs, and ask God to save you. He looked at him for a minute and started for the fence. And the old colored man stopped him and said, no, sir, you don't got to do that. You just going to be willing to do that. I tell you, God will take every bit of the starch.
Yes, he will.
I mean, every bit of the starch out of you. And break your heart.
Yes,
I'd like to buy these ladies for what they're worth, and sell them for what they think they're worth. I'd be a millionaire overnight. You know what I'm talking about. We had some sophisticated folks, you know, and they'd come in that door and all my hats on, and that feather pointing down saying, look at me, every step they took. And I mean, just immaculate. But when God began to deal with their hearts, boy, I mean, tears would start plowing furrows down through that mascara, and their eyes looked like somebody hit them with a piece of coal, you know, all that black all over their face, and they forgot about that, honey. All that was history. They didn't care anymore because God had broken their heart and taken all that starch out of them. Is on their face before God. Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen.
I'm telling you, God never saved a proud sinner and never will save a proud sinner. But I tell you what he will do. He'll humble old sinners and bring them to himself.
Yes.
You see, God's in the humbling business. God's in the breaking business. I'm convinced also that God never saves a sinner till he breaks him. Now, not every one that I've seen that I'm convinced are saved by the grace of God squall their eyes out when they came before the altar. But their heart was broken because of sin. The weight of sin. God had let them see what sin really was and how God hated the sin in their lives. And they saw it like God saw it, and they were broken. Some of the hardest men. We'd probably been there. Well, we're still in the old building, so we'd been there about 2.5 years or so. And this Coast Guard, the fellow that had retired from the Coast Guard, would every once in a while he'd come with his wife to church. And I spoke with him. We shared some things and so on and so forth. And I'd go visit him and talk with him. And one day I told Ginger, I said, he's a lost cause. He's just a lost cause. And he came to church that next Sunday, started out the door. And I don't know, I've never said this before, and I never said it since, as far as I know. I've liked to have said it since, but I haven't. And I said, you're going to go to hell in spite of everything, aren't you? He dropped his head and walked out the door. But that night, he was back. Now, 24 years in the Coast Guard. Rough, hardened man. He walked in that church house that Sunday night. He looked different than he did when he left Sunday morning. I knew something was on. And before I got through preaching that night, that old boy had made his way out of that pew, made his way to the altar rather swiftly. I didn't know he could run. I'm telling you, he ran to the altar, hit that altar, sounded like a gun went off, boy. Like a cannon, he hit that altar. I thought he'd hurt himself. The next thing I hear is a squalling of a baby being birthed into the family of God. You see, I can't pick them, and I can't choose them. All I can do is deliver the mail. But what a privilege it is to deliver the mail.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Yes.
Because you know somebody is going to read the mail. You know someone is going to hear. Someone said to me years ago, said, if I believed like you did, I'd never preach. I said, if you believe like I did, you'd preach every time you got a chance and make the chances.
You've just heard One Voice with Dr. Larry Montgomery. Bible questions and Bible answers to enable the believer to understand the sovereign purpose of God for both His church and His chosen people. This program is recorded live in the auditorium of Parkway Baptist Church in Bristol, Tennessee at 6:30 on Sunday night. We welcome your participation and input. Write us at One Voice, 1253 Volunteer Parkway, Bristol, Tennessee, 37620. That's One Voice, 1253 Volunteer Parkway, Bristol, Tennessee, 37620. Thank you for listening.